This podcast is for investment professionals only. The value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Good day, everyone. I'm Ron Insana, Senior Advisor to Schroders North America. Welcome to the U.S. Lens. There has been much going on in the last several weeks, not just here in the U.S., but around the world. We have no shortage of news items to discuss when it comes to the coronavirus, political instability, trade tensions between the United States and China, an upcoming election here in the U.S. But what's been kind of driven into the background to a certain extent has been the role of emerging markets in one's investment portfolio. Joining me now to talk about that and where emerging markets stand overall is Jim Barrino. He is Global Head of EMD Strategy for Schroders. Jim, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. And before we get into the specifics of emerging markets and emerging market debt more directly, just when you're looking at the world right now and you see the U.S. continuing to perform reasonably well from an equity and debt perspective, and the rest of the developed world too, what do you think about what's happening in the emerging markets at this moment?
Well, I always think of the emerging markets as an offshoot of the U.S. So we've seen this tsunami of liquidity introduced into the world, not just by the U.S., but by Europe, et cetera. And that has flowed to emerging markets. So we've had a great recovery in emerging market debt prices. Emerging market currencies have been a little bit more mixed, but still positive since the pandemic recovery and the introduction of all of this liquidity by the Fed. And foreign exchange reserves have risen dramatically in emerging markets. So what I see is emerging markets asset prices recovering as developed markets continue to pump liquidity into the system. And there's no reason to expect why this can't continue. The risk appetite that we've seen evidenced in U.S. equity markets, of course, helps risk appetite globally. Emerging markets, like many other asset classes, takes their cue from U.S. equity prices. So that has also contributed to the recovery. The one area that we're always thinking about is the divergence between the fundamental recovery in emerging markets and in developed markets, to be honest with you, and asset prices. And there, eventually, we're going to have to see a little bit more convergence between fundamental economic growth recovery and where asset prices are today.
So then with that really drives the next question, which is which is more likely? Is it that economies will catch up to what some would consider inflation and asset prices, or will those asset prices catch down to the reality, pardon me, of economies not growing quite as briskly as many had hoped?
Yeah, that's really the big question for every investor across every asset class. And what you would hope for is some convergence between those two options as you describe them. What we don't want to see is asset prices fall sharply as fundamentals drag. And also what we don't want to see is asset prices, languish while it takes years for fundamental economic growth to recover. What we're seeing in emerging markets, like we're seeing in the U.S., is some economic recovery. Economic growth forecasts for 2021 have been marked up by and large, but the economic growth recovery in emerging markets is going to lag developed markets. There's just no getting around that. Health systems are more stressed in emerging markets. The level of stimulus directly into the economy is less in emerging markets. And monetary policy doesn't have the degrees of freedom that developed markets has. So clearly the fundamental recovery is going to be slower. The good news for emerging market investors is asset prices really haven't soared as quickly as they have in developed markets. So we're not seeing, debt spreads at all-time highs. We're not seeing currencies looking extremely overvalued to us. So there still is some value that compensates you for being more patient on the fundamental economic recovery.
Now, from a U.S. investor's perspective, a lot of the, I guess, opinions about emerging markets, whether it's debt or equities for that matter, really hinges on the direction of the dollar. And we've seen the dollar weaken, but then we've seen it pop back up. With a view towards the U.S. dollar, given, again, as you say, the massive liquidity infusion, maybe some uncertainty around both politics and geopolitics, is the dollar still likely to move lower rather than higher? And if so, how does that affect one's view of EMD?
It's critical to one's view of EMD. If you graft your returns in local currency investing or even your returns in EM equity investing, you'd find a very, very high correlation to the long-term path of the U.S. dollar. So clearly, interest rate differentials are no longer a factor. Everybody's at zero. We've had roughly about a five-year bull market in the U.S. dollar. When the U.S. dollar went from about 98 to 93, everybody got excited. When the euro went from 112 to 118, 119, we touched 120 for about 5 minutes. Everybody got excited. But those are not extreme levels. The U.S. dollar was at 80 5 or 6 years ago. It tends to go through multi-year stages. So the U.S. dollar is by no means cheap. When you look at the fundamentals of the U.S., and you always have to look at it relative to other economies because that's how currencies are valued, you see that the U.S. fiscal deficit is going to be more than twice the fiscal deficit of Europe. Growth in 2021 is likely to be higher in Europe than it is in the U.S. The current account deficit in the U.S. is very persistent. Europe runs a current account surplus. So while interest rate differentials are no longer a factor for currency investors, there are a lot of fundamental reasons and technical reasons to believe that the U.S. dollar can fall. And if it does, emerging markets is a great place to be.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, you're listening to the Investor Download.
All right. Now, with respect to emerging markets, they are diverging among themselves. I mean, we see some, and I'll name some countries, and you don't necessarily have to respond to them from an investment perspective, but you see a fair amount of disruption in places like Turkey, where the lira has collapsed. You look at Latin America, which is struggling with the coronavirus, and in places like Brazil and Argentina, still struggling with not only fundamental economic issues, but debt issues and a whole host of other political concerns. Does one have to be extremely discerning in the emerging market environment? It's not just necessarily a monolithic category anymore.
Yeah, it never has been, and it's getting more and more diverse. And we talk about it in shorthand by saying emerging markets, but really it's many, many markets. So you have Asia, which has recovered very smartly from the coronavirus. We'll see positive growth in China, one of the few countries that'll have positive growth. Northern Asia, Korea, Taiwan is doing very well. Some other Asian countries are lagging a bit behind, but still in very good shape relative to the rest of the universe. Latin America, as you pointed out, is the one region that is struggling most with the coronavirus. There will be deep recessions there. We're seeing countries like Brazil that have had the ability to do fiscal stimulus, ability and willingness. They'll recover faster. Mexico has shown really no interest in extraordinary stimulus. So their recovery is definitely going to be slower. And then in Central Europe, we're seeing good recoveries. The rate structure is tied at the hip to the ECB. So they have very, very low real interest rates. That will help them recover. Russia, of course, is hooked to oil prices, but their decline won't be as nearly as sharp as the rest of emerging markets. And Turkey, which you mentioned, I think is worth just briefly mentioning because it's a real outlier. Every other emerging market has fixed its current account deficit in this downturn. Turkey's an exception. Their credit growth has been substantial. Their fall in foreign exchange reserves has been substantial, and they're struggling. But for the rest of emerging markets, current account deficits have shrunk. FX reserves have risen. So there's reason to think they have some ammunition going forward to help themselves recover.
Quick question. Well, maybe not a quick question, but a question around which a lot of concerns have obviously focused lately is U.S.-China trade. And while, and again, I'll name a specific company, but not as an investment, Oracle wins out to buy TikTok from ByteDance, beating out Microsoft. We see maybe that resolves one issue between the U.S. and China, but still, the Trump administration is running a pretty rough game with Beijing and potentially vice versa. How big an issue is that going to be going forward?
It's going to be a very persistent issue. So one of the things we worry about is whether this is enough of a political issue that the Trump administration thinks they can make some political gains by being even more tough on China. And then in October, they announced some dramatic, quote unquote, decoupling from China that really upsets financial markets. So I think in the next 50 days or so, that is the real worry for us with regard to China-U.S. relations. But stepping back from that a minute, what we're seeing is the emergence of a real consensus across the political spectrum in the U.S. that China has to be dealt with in a fairly confrontational manner. So the results of the election, broadly speaking, I don't think are going to be a true game changer for U.S.-China relations or for emerging market investors. What you will see if there's a change of party in the White House is probably a bit more predictability around the issue, probably less use of tariffs. And that may give the market some comfort, but I don't think you'll see a big detente that really changes the game.
So overall, then, just to wrap up, with all these things being considered, is really, from an investor's perspective, the fundamental concern still around liquidity, central bank involvement, and fiscal stimulus effectively everywhere on the around the globe while we wait for a coronavirus vaccine?
Yeah. So what the central banks of the world are doing is buying time for economic growth to recover. But what I think we're going to see is real interest rates stay negative for a long, long, long time in the developed world. We see about half of the emerging market universe having negative real interest rates. It's not good for investors, but it's good for a growth recovery. So I see this as persistent feature of the investing landscape that is not going to change, and we just have to live with it. Within that framework, though, you do see some opportunities in emerging market debt. Local currency debt, I think, is the part of the universe we're most positive on. Currencies have lagged tremendously, and you still get positive real interest rates in much of the universe. Dollar spreads to U.S. treasuries have fallen, but they're still well off their lows, and especially in the non-investment grade space, still offer attractive yields. And as we all know, yield is going to be tremendously hard to come by in the global fixed income universe. So there still are reasons to be involved. And I don't feel like this liquidity tsunami is going anywhere soon.
All right, Jim, appreciate your insights. Thanks for joining us. Jim Barino is Global Head of EMD Strategy at Schroders. I'm Ron Insana. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with the U.S. Lens within a week or so to tell you more about what's going on in the world of investing. Have a good day.
That was the show. We very much hope you enjoyed it. If you want to read more about any of the subjects we've spoken about in these shows, go to schroders.com/insights. You can listen to a whole back catalogue at schroders.com/the investor download. If you want to get in touch with us, it's schroderspodcast@schroders.com. Feel free to pose any questions. And if you want to rate, review, and subscribe to us, you can do that via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, with new shows available on a Monday and Thursday from 5 p.m. UK time. But most importantly, keep safe and go well. Cheers.